Hello. You all probably already know if you'd listened to last week's ep that I am in the home stretch to episode 200 of Carlosophies. That was minds being blown all over the place. Who would have thought that I could do this? Who would have thought that I could be consistent as a podcaster for going on nearly 4 years. Wow. Anyway, what I decided to do was to have in the lead up to episode 200, I thought I would get some of my favorite people who have been a big part in unpeeling the layers of me as I do for others over the past year or so. And so last week we heard from Emily Tomeo Mayer from The Meaning Method, who was my writing coach for writing Memoir of a Mediocre Life. That didn't sound very good. Memoir of a Mediocre Life. And I didn't want to say it mediocrately. Mediocre, whatever. You know what I mean. So today we're going to be hearing from my singing coach. And she has been almost like a bit of a character throughout Carlosophies since early this year when I started working with her. We've heard from me. We've heard back behind the scenes of me during my first lesson. You have heard me driving back from singing lessons with the huge epiphanies that I've had about being an artist, not necessarily an entrepreneur. And what that's done for me. And yeah, we're going to dive into the work that we've done together and the voice dialogue work, which if you've done Find Your Freak, you will know all about. So without further ado, may I introduce to you the divine, Ms. Lisa Brown. Welcome to Carlosophies. I'm Carly Nimmo, and to be honest, I'm still figuring out this thing called life. This podcast has been a training ground for me to learn to show up and speak up. It's grown and changed as I've grown and changed. And these days, I want to explore what happens when you let the lid off. When you stop living a life of expectation and start living a life in brilliant technicolor. Each week, I'll show up and peel back another layer of the stories that make up the fabric of who I am. And occasionally, I'll dive deep with a guest into a topic that's piqued my curiosity. So show up and allow Carlosophies to speak to you in any way you need it to. Carlosophies is coming up to 200 episodes, and I can honestly say I never thought I would get to this milestone when I started. I was never a finisher. I was just one of those people who kind of started things and dropped off and walked away from them eventually. And that did happen in the early days of Carlosophies, but this has just been something that I can't not do this. I can't not share my truth with the world. So I decided what I would do is this is quite a big milestone. I mean, I've done 200 podcast episodes for this podcast. It's like, just, it feels like a really monumental, commitment to myself and to you guys. So I thought I would celebrate by exploring with some of the people who I've worked with over the past few years, particularly in the last 12 months, because that's where I feel like I've really come into my own and found my own voice and really honed in on the message that I'm sharing with the world. And that hasn't happened by accident. It's happened through working with a bunch of incredible women who have come to, like, we found each other in randomest of ways. And I thought, what a cool idea to get some of these women on and talk about the work that we've done together, but also what's led them to do their work in the world and share their voice in the way that they do. So I'm starting with someone who has almost become like a third character on my show, which is my singing teacher, Lisa Brown. And you guys would have heard me, probably about, like, earlier in the year. It was episode 150, if you're interested in going back. You would have heard the behind the scenes of my first singing lesson in about 20 years. And I was, it's fair to say, I was pretty creatively stifled when I walked into Lisa Brown's studio in the Byron kind of tweed hinterland. But I came out a different person. So, and also we just recently, Lisa Corduff and I recently had our mastermind retreat and invited Lisa to come and speak at or come and work her magic on our masterminders. And every single one of them just had a major breakthrough. And the work that Lisa does in the world is just so incredibly powerful. So I wanted to get you on, Lisa, to say to share you with the world because you're too good to be my secret.
Oh, thank you, Carly. I'm so honored. And it's wonderful.
Cool.
So and congratulations
to I know, well 200 episodes. Oh my God. So I thought we could start with, do you want to tell us a bit about your background? Because this is the thing, right? Like so often I work with incredible women, but I don't know the backstory of you that much. Like, you know so much about me and I do know a bit about you, but like, I don't know your history. So, can you share with us a little bit about how you've come to be in this place and the work that you're doing now?
Oh, there's so much, but I'm glad you started with that question rather than what do you do? Because it's so incredibly hard to describe what I do. It's a collection, I guess it's the crystallization of my life experience on my own journey, just like you, you know, and all the tools that I've gathered along the way and all the experiences, my experiences from as a client of other amazing people and facilitators. So I guess my journey started, it probably started very young with the feeling of not really having a place or wanting to be seen, to be honest. And I've been thinking about this interview for a while and the image that keeps coming up for me is this image that I'll never forget when I was about five and looking at the TV and I was watching a black jazz singer, which I now know was Carmen McRae. And she was singing Good Morning Heartache, which is a song made famous by Billie Holiday. And I was absolutely mesmerized. And from that moment on, it was like, that's what I want to do. So I guess that was the beginning of the journey. And somehow I got lost along the way, as you do, like the fairy tales. And what I saw in that performance was so mesmerizing for me that I wanted to be able to do that in my life somehow.
What I guess was there it was about, magic what there. Was it about her and the performance that sticks in your mind?
It was so real and heartfelt and dramatic and really telling a story, I guess. And I guess that's what I help people do is to really tell their story, even though I hate this word, authentically, and share it with others from a true space. There was no bullshit in that performance. And I guess that's what I now do with other women. So I grew up and had singing lessons and did the music and was never the one picked for the choir, or I was the last one picked just because they needed the numbers. And I always felt that singing and music was really hard for me. Even though I ended up making a career out of it, it always seemed to be such a struggle. And I guess that aspect has helped me teach so well with other people because I understand their struggles. I've been through it myself. I always felt like it was almost as if God had given me this desire that I wasn't able to fulfill. It was like making a 6-foot-tall person want to be a jockey desperately. So, but I did it in the end. And so it's been an ongoing, and then I think I wanted to be on stage and do music and it became much more about wanting the love instead of the self-expression. It was a way to get the love from people but it wasn't the right way. And so I guess through my experience, you know, then I started therapy, you know, life brought me to my knees. I started therapy and my journey took me from there. I've also learned to be a teacher trainer and proper teacher training while I was in London. So that really helped me with my adult education and the way I deliver things. And I set up my business in Byron, teaching music, which was really successful. Then I had children and had to stop it all. And I, during that time as well, because I teach adults, I noticed that I always took people into the personal realm, almost the counselling realm, the therapy realm. So many lessons were spent not doing music or singing, but talking. And I got to a point where I really felt like I couldn't facilitate or hold the space that I needed to hold. So I have spent the last 6 years studying for my degree in counselling and coaching. And now, actually through a conversation I had with you, Carly, and a couple of other things that happened, I thought I was done with teaching music, but I realised that I'm now back to what I was doing, but I'm able to hold the space for the counselling, therapeutic, coaching realm, as well as the learning music voice. So it's become this new thing which I haven't got a name for. And so that's why I hate the question, what do you do? Because it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a singing teacher, but I'm much more than a singing teacher.
Yeah, you're definitely.
And I'm not a coach. More,
definitely much more than a singing teacher and much more than a coach. It's almost like, yeah, like for me, it's been the process of, you know, like I said in the beginning, I feel like I came to you almost creatively stifled. I had always loved to sing, and it's the thing that I, you know, when people say that whole thing about like following your bliss and like what's your purpose, and it's like what, you know, it's what you do and you don't, and time just flows and you feel really connected and the goosebumps and the blah, blah. And for me, it's always been singing. I've always had those feels, but I just, it was just too overwhelming for me to connect to that place. And also all the judgment and the fear, you know, that was all getting in the way. And I'd had some really important people in my life kind of tell me not to give away my day job.
That is always a really big one. And yeah, I guess in the end you can be thankful to those people, but I work a lot with that, and it's just—it's so wrong.
Yeah,
so wrong. So never let anybody tell you that.
No,
you can't
that's
sing.
It. I mean, this is the thing, right? Like, and your story about, you know, almost like the singing becoming a tool for the validation that you needed as a human, and like then we almost become codependent on the things that we do, don't we? It's like, you know, I don't know, like it's your value in the world, the value that you're bringing to others, can be an unhealthy place to live from.
Very, very unhealthy, yes.
So when it comes to, like, you know, if we're talking about, you know, I know where I was personally when I came to you, and I think I actually came across you because my friend Shara, who has been a guest on this podcast many moons ago, she had done your program I'm With the Band, which you were doing out this way. And at the time I had like Maple, she was like 6 months old, and Shara was telling me all about this incredible program that she was doing. And it was basically going from her being in all her fear and doubt to performing on stage with a band. And she was telling me about it, and I was like, oh my God, that sounds like my fucking worst nightmare. There is no way I could ever do that. That's just like
perfect client. You would have been my perfect client.
It was just so like, I think my soul would have been craving for that, because I loved being on stage as a kid and I always loved to sing, but I just shut myself down so much because I was so afraid and I couldn't be present in, you know, in my feelings. That was really the biggest struggle, I think, when I came to you, was that, you know, I couldn't connect and express those feelings. And so I guess I wonder, like, what for other people, do they come to you in the similar way that I found myself in that place of feeling just really shut down? Or like, what are the key things that people kind of, when do they come to you? What are they struggling with?
It's interesting. I think everybody comes with different baggage, if you like. I think the most powerful tool and the most simple thing I get people to do is to sing during the process of singing. And I say to them, okay, sing this really ugly. And that seems to open up so much, because instantly you let go of the expectation of having to sound pretty or having to fit in. And this really shows in our larger life, especially, I have to say, with women.
Mm.
You know, from such a young age, we're taught how we get the love, and that is to be pretty in so many different ways, you know, put the confines on in so many different ways. So when someone's given the permission to sound ugly, it's such a, I've forgotten the word, paradox, because in that their beauty comes forth.
Yes. So true.
A lot of the time, I think that's the biggest thing, is that we're unaware of how confined we're making ourselves.
Mm.
And so the space that I provide is almost like peeling off those layers of confinement and giving the permission to really go for it. Be loud, be ugly, be everything that you are. And so much incredible stuff comes out. I mean, I think the workshop was such a good example of that.
Oh, my God. So good, right? Because it was like during the workshop at our retreat, I got Lisa to take each person off and go through a process with them, which was similar to the process that she went through with me on my first session, which was life-changing for me. And I knew it was going to have an impact, but we just never really know how much, right? And so each woman went into the room to work with Lisa and came out bawling their eyes out, and every one of them said, I'm not sad. Like, I'm crying because I feel like the freest I've felt in so long. And it's like we've been living our life in these shackles that we haven't even realized how much they've been weighing us down. And when we get to that place, I'm getting covered in goosebumps right now.
I am too. I'm just shivering.
I know. It's like when we get to that place where we can unleash the rawness and the truth of who we are, it's like, you know, like just it's the most magical feeling, and all of the emotion comes out, you know, and all of these women were like, oh my God, I just feel so free. I feel like I feel really free. I feel really powerful. I feel like, you know, I can take on the world, because it's like that process makes you realize just how powerful you are and how worthy we are innately. Without having to be beautiful, without having to be perfect, without just that freedom in expressing yourself regardless.
Mm.
It's like, it's something that we're not given the permission to do very often, if at all in life. So when we get those opportunities, it's like busting us open. It's like, I don't know if you've heard of that goddess Akalanda, which I've recorded a couple of podcast episodes on, but she's kind of like, she's the image where it's like it's a statue and it's busting open and the light's coming out.
Ah, yeah, exactly.
That's how it feels. It feels that kind of powerful and I don't know. Yeah. It's an incredible process. So every woman was coming out like, oh my God, I can take on the world. I can take on the world. I can take on the world. And that is like, just such a gift.
Yeah, who knew? Who knew that when I watched and when I as you were talking, then I was thinking back, you know, you asked me, what did I see in that performance?
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I saw.
Yeah.
She wasn't, if anyone listens to Carmen McRae, she's not a beautiful singer. She's an impassioned singer, an incredible performer. She lives every word that she sings.
Mm.
And yes. So,
and the storytelling, right? That's the other element to it that I've found really powerful. And I think like that was really highlighted at the end of all of their sessions. We all sat down in the lounge room and played the versions. So the safe version and then the, you know, the fully going for it version. And every single one of them just made you cry, right? It was like, it was so beautiful, so moving,
Because it's honesty that we connect to. I've heard great musicians, technically incredible artists, but if the honesty is not integrated in that, you know, there's something to be said for having technique and developing that and putting in that labour. But ultimately, I would much rather have the rawest, most honest sound than the beautiful technical sound, because can't be bothered.
And I think that is what we connect to in life too, right?
Absolutely.
The feeling and the energy that's gone into creating something. So it's like some of my favorite singers and musicians and music is not the most beautiful sounding stuff.
But
it's moving because of maybe the energy that's created. Is that what you kind of feel like it is? People are connecting to the energy of that's like, what do you think it is?
I'm not sure what it is, but I know that we all know it when we see it.
We do.
And it's like when we go to a concert or performance and we're mesmerized by that person on stage. It isn't about the sound or what they're creating there. That's maybe the packaging for it, but it's this energy of aliveness, realness, something. It's almost, it speaks of us and to us, and it's telling our story as well as their own. It almost is like, oh, they're like me. That is me. We are one, maybe. That's where it's really about.
Yeah.
So it's about speaking the truth of ourselves, and in that we're speaking the truth of others.
And that takes vast amounts of courage, right? Because so often we go through life being shut down for being who we are, particularly in childhood, you know, like I know for most children who grew up in our kind of vintage, maybe even until today, I feel like things are shifting now. But, you know, big emotions were not really that, you know, children were always seen and not heard. And, you know, like our emotional outbursts were not welcomed. And so we learned to shut that real feeling self down a bit and, and suppress that because of the judgment and of others, really. So unfolding that and then sharing that with the world.
Mm. And I think what you said about courage, we're also in watching that, we're admiring the courage of those people and wanting to have that for ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Wishing, I want to be able to do that. And I don't think in its truest form it's about the love that these people are getting. It's about the courage that they're able to show.
I feel like I was a relatively self-aware person, but voice dialogue has almost opened that up to like the next level. So, yeah, let's have a chat about voice dialogue and how you use it in your work and a bit about what it is. I think some people might be familiar with it if they've done Find Your Freak or something. They've had like a bit of a taster of voice dialogue, but can you speak to, what it's about and how you use it in your practice?
Okay. Well, voice dialogue's pretty simple in its essence. You know, I think the best way I can describe it is that in our everyday language, we'll often hear people or ourselves talk in terms of making a decision, part of me wants to do this and part of me wants to do that. So what voice dialogue does is it recognises that our self is made up of different parts. We can be many, many, many different people and characters throughout the day depending on what happens in our situation. And when we're unconscious of those parts, it means that we can be taken over by them. We can be taken over by rage. We can be taken over, you know, make decisions from a place one day and then the next day it doesn't feel right at all. So what we do with voice dialogue is work with those parts. Basically, I will interview or talk to those parts as separate people or entities or energies. And in that, you as the client get to hear them, you know, what their motivations are. Each part of us has a motivation. It has a fear. When did they come in? Some are really frozen in time and they don't really serve us. We never, ever get rid of them, but we might upgrade them. So it's a way of self-awareness. So we speak to one part, we'll speak to another part, and in that we can disengage. And when we're feeling that energy, we'll recognize it and therefore it can't take over and make the decision for us, which isn't always the right decision for what we really want for our higher purpose or whatever.
Yeah.
So it leaves more room for your higher self to, and awareness, your higher awareness to choose the path.
Yeah, totally. And we do have, like, we do have some language around this too these days, right? Because there's a lot of talk about the inner critic. You know, you're inner perfectionist. So we do, like, some of it is now kind of common language.
We realize
that there are. And how often do we say that? Like, oh, yeah, there's this part of me that wants this and there's this part of me. Like, we have these two selves almost in conflict with
each
other.
Many selves, thousands of them.
Thousands of them. And so for me, when I showed up, you know, in your studio, it was that my protector was really very strong.
Your protector works very hard.
And so we had a lot of work to do around her. What other selves do you see come up at that point where, you know, people are, like moving out of their comfort zone?
Well, I want to say that actually all ourselves in their own ways are protectors. They all are trying to help us. The selves, that it's so interesting how, because this is really new work, me being able to entwine this with the singing. So I had a client the other day who, great musician, fantastic singer and guitarist, but I got him to put the guitar down and just stand up and sing. And as soon as he got up without the guitar, he felt so vulnerable. Mm. And this was a self that absolutely hijacked him, really took him by surprise. And so we sat down and really worked with that self. We didn't actually get to do any singing, but it was just the act of putting down the guitar, standing up, and now he's just going to have his voice by himself. That was not okay. So that's where I was able to sit that person down. We got to know what that part was, what it needed, where it needed to fit. We then had to actually go into some much deeper work. So it's just really interesting. Another client I had, when she had to sit at the piano, this little girl came out that was so afraid of making a mistake. And so we went into the voice dialogue and she actually stayed in that energy of that little girl. And I gave that little girl a piano lesson, you know, for it. And it was so beautiful to see that child, that inner child of hers. And we have many facets of our inner child, but that particular one come out and enjoy the lesson and be so thrilled with, I think we did the improvisation exercise that you have talked about, Carly.
Yeah.
So it's coming
it's
out.
It's powerful. That improvisation exercise was like, oh, my God.
I know. So I did that with this little three-year-old that was sitting inside her, and it was, again, brought to tears. I have so many tears in my sessions. So it's really becoming very interesting work, and I really just check in with myself as and creatively what's going to be appropriate. And that seemed to just that dance of working with a client and my knowledge. And this is kind of new work. Mm. I don't know anyone else who does this, and I haven't done it, so it's new work for all of us. But we're kind of guided by each other, and it's just beautiful what's happening.
It is. Yeah. And it's like it all, it's very intuitively led work.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like it's like, like it's absolutely where you are meant to be right now, right? It's like with all of your background and your, you know, your history with singing and all of the things that you've come up with and all the people that you've given just almost traditional singing lessons to, if you ever did that.
I did. I still do.
And then now bringing in, you know, the coaching, counseling side of things and the voice dialogue. I mean, that is like the perfect marriage, bringing those two elements together. Yeah. It's really, really powerful work. But I love that it's so individual too. Like, I love that
it is.
I show and I up like and we work together from where
and
I am.
I've just come to the place now where I feel like through all the work that I've done with my facilitation that I'm just able to hold it now. Mm. I'm so much more confident, for want of a better word, of my intuition and where that takes us.
Yeah, and that's a practice, right? I know in my own coaching sessions it's like, like just the intuition aspect of things it can just like our creative selves be often squashed and not given a voice because we're afraid that we might get it wrong, or, you know, it's like one thing, all things, really, isn't it?
Like totally, you know, and intuition is often a case of learning to listen. And, you know, when people come to me and they say, well, I can't sing or I'm tone deaf, one, there's no such thing as tone deafness. If you can talk, you can sing. But it's about listening with the whole body. So I've spent times with some students in the past and presently where I will just play one note and get them to sing it, and it'll be off. And then I'll just, often it's just about relaxing, really listening with the body, not trying. And then it comes out. And some of those people have been the best singers that have come through me. Yeah, it's incredible. And I guess those, like you say, one thing, all things, what happens in the room in an exercise like that where you learn to just relax and listen with your whole body, you know, instead of, if you transfer that to intuition, we have all this mind chatter and questioning and is that right, is that wrong, is it, it doesn't work. We've got to get to a place where it's a kind of vibrational feel.
And it's like I feel like the work that I've been doing with you and in general is really about trust. So,
totally.
You know, feeling safe within myself, feeling, you know, trusting that whatever I create is whatever needs to be created in that moment. Yeah, it's really about learning to trust my creative self. And, you know, she hadn't been given much of a playground. And now that she is, it's just changed my entire life. Like if you think about that improvisation, or just even like showing up and being able to feel safe within me to express myself, like that is a, sure, it's a great tool for singing, but in my life, it is instrumental in the way I show up and can now speak my truth without necessarily, suppressing myself. So it's like.
And being afraid. Often we're so afraid of the consequences of us.
Yes. Yeah. And so then we're not honoring our feelings and, you know, all that kind of things. Yeah. So trust is like really, I guess, like you're almost like a facilitator of trust.
I like that. I do like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So for anyone who is keen to explore their own voice and their own, you know, creative expression, where obviously they can work with you, how can people get in touch if they want to explore a session?
Well, I think the best place to get me is on my Facebook page. I have declined to do a website as yet. I'm really keeping the marketing to a minimum and using things like this podcast and word of mouth and
trust.
Connection.
And trust.
And trust. And trust. I've put so much money in the past into all that.
Building the things.
Yeah,
and
building
and
the things.
That, go
that wasn't
things.
Really me. That wasn't, you know, and obviously didn't work. I know you've done many podcasts on that, Carly.
Yeah.
But, yes. So just simply get me on my Facebook page, which is Ember Soul, E-M-B-E-R, and another word, S-O-U-L.
Which I'll put a link in the show notes for anyone.
That would be great. So just message me there. And I'm even happy to give out my phone number as well.
Yeah.
Do you do that? Yeah.
Well, you can if you want to. Yeah.
Yeah. 0411-394-139. And you can leave a message there and I'll be in contact.
Cool. And I guess for anyone who's looking to explore it within themselves, where do you feel is a good place to start? Like practicing, you know, like where does it start? Does it start with like just singing in the car? Like what are some ways that people could unblock themselves creatively just in the comfort of their own homes?
I think if you're doing it through the voice, just the expression of being loud can be such a wonderful exercise, you know, going, if you can find one, a deserted beach or.
I do it in the car a lot.
Just, being loud and maybe experimenting with, you know, I guess a song and singing it the way you think, you know, just recording it on your phone, singing it the way you think sounds good, and then singing it in a way you think just sounds blah, really, you know, where you're not trying, and just listen to the differences and be aware of that, but also be aware of the judgment. I mean, there's many, 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 many layers. So,
yeah, and being an observer of those experiences is, you know, that's one of the most powerful things that I've used in the past, you know, 18 months or so of exploring my own shit. Actually, it's been way more than that, maybe 10 years. But it's, mm-hmm. you know, that being the observer of the way that you judge yourself when you're doing things mm-hmm. is, you know, that gives us access into the mm-hmm. where voice dialogue work really starts, when we Absolutely. Start to recognize those voices that come up again and again and again.
Yeah, and that does need facilitation. Often we're so connected to those, we're so stuck with them. So the other thing that I say to people, which I think is just something to bear in mind, you know, it's been proven actually scientifically that multitasking is not a thing that us humans can do. Our brain really does one thing at a time. And so something that an analogy that I've used many times for a long time is that when you're singing or performing, you know, if you imagine a talent show, you've got the performer there and they've got the judges sitting at the panel, but the judges aren't singing and the singer isn't judging. You can only be in one of those positions at any one time.
That is so true.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, if you're going to sing, just sing, and then later, you know, record it on your phone and then sit in the judges panel. But yes. often what we're doing is that the judges are singing, and often the judges are not singers. They're not great at, they're not creators. A judge's role is not to create, it's to judge. And a singer or creator's role is not to judge, it's to sing or create. So fully sit in that position and just have that awareness. Am I fully in this position? Yes. And that means being really, really present.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Which is a practice too.
It's a big practice and self-awareness.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, the work that I do helps to unstick those
parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you can be fully in one or the other.
Yeah. Which is actually what led me to you in the first place. You know, I've always loved singing. I've always loved that form of expression. I feel so free in the car. I just could never bring that to another human being. And I wanted to. I really wanted to have that version of me, that free, just me letting it rip in the car without anyone listening. I wanted to bring her to the world, not me trying to be what everyone else wanted me to be, or what I thought everyone else wanted me to be.
I know. And we're so used to doing that, and it takes up so much energy, and it's such hard work, and it's never right.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to use that energy, you know, freely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And cool. You're doing it, Carly.
I am. Wonderful. I know. Oh my God.
I've been watching it.
And it's been, you know, it's been a journey that has taken me to the far reaches of what I thought was possible for myself. And it's also, you know, it has been something that has required vast amounts of courage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, what is that they say? Like, courage is actually from the heart. And
cool.
This is,
yeah.
And it just feels like for me, I want to spend this life expressing my truth. And my truth is not, you know, like the truth of who we are is not as limited as I've been telling myself.
No, it doesn't fit in. It's not pretty. It's not this or that. It just is what it is. And, you know, when I see that in anybody or anything, I just am so attracted to it. It surrounds me. I just love it. It gives energy.
Totally. And it gives others permission to go, you know, oh, well, you know, yeah, all this stuff is a practice. It's a constant practice of, you know, showing up and speaking up. And and it's through, you know, like when I first started recording my free flows, they weren't as succinct as they are now.
Yeah.
Like, I've got videos of me running with the video camera in my face at the height of my depression, and, like, they're cringeworthy. But I still have so much love and respect for that woman who was running on the beach in the height of depression with a fucking video camera in her face.
Yeah.
Like, that that has been like the evolution of me has been not just an overnight thing. It hasn't just been, you know, unplugged since we've started working together. It's been like 10 plus or 41 years of suppressing myself and then expressing and suppressing and expressing and, you know, and then eventually it leads us to this perfect moment in time where I feel like I've come into my own, and you certainly have too.
Yes, I think you'd agree with me, and I think this is one of the most important things, is that we need each other to do that. Yeah. You need to work with people. I will always work with people or different types of practitioners and whatever, as I'm sure you will too. Yeah. And the other point is it's about learning, and this is the voice dialogue as well, is that, yeah, you love that woman who was doing that. It's learning to love every part. Mm. But really, it's not, you know, it's something that can...
Because we have some very ugly elements to ourselves. And a lot of the time we've judged them as ugly, and so we've suppressed them. Yeah. And then they act out in really, you know, ways that make us feel shit.
That's right. But when you know what they're trying to do for you, you can only look at them with love.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now I can see. I'm so sorry. And that's part of the self-acceptance. That's part of the loving of the selves. So that's why the voice dialogue is such beautiful work. And I think, you know, that's a beautiful way to put it, you looking back on that person who was running. You know, you love her, even though you love her courage and what she was trying to achieve for you and where she's brought you.
Yeah.
And that's each and every aspect of ourselves.
Totally. Well, thank you for coming on today. I'm so glad. I'm so happy to share your magic with the world. And if anyone is interested, I highly recommend getting in touch with Lisa. Just like that freedom that you'll feel after your first session will just be like,
sing that again, Carly. Sing it again.
I should do it like this. Get in touch with my primal self. All right. Well, thanks so much, Lisa. The end. Thanks for coming. See you next week. And in the meantime, I would love you to join my Show Up Speak Up community in Facebook, or connect with me on Instagram at Carlosophies. Until next week, peace out.